Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the top of Daf Kuf Gimel, you will notice a Mishnah. Before we get into the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of one of the features of the Gemara marking system, topic headings. We have here a nosei, a title, a topic of this Gemara. Mosai Amrinon de'oirois kochim lekoyanim. The Bailim, when do we say that the skins of sacrifices go to the Kohanim, and when do they go to the owner of the sacrifice? The Mishnah. Kol shelo zocha ha-mizbeach bivisora. Any situation that the Mizbeach does not get the skin, does not get the meat of the Korban Ola, of the Ola offering, lo zochu kohanim ba'ora, the Kohanim will not get the skins. The example would be where a psul, where a deficiency or an invalidating factor arose before the sprinkling of the blood, so that the korban never was fit for the mizbeach to begin with. Such a situation, the Kohanim would not get the skins. Shenemar, the pasuk says, oilas ish. The Pasuk is quoted in our marked Gemaras on the inside margin, Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ches. The Pasuk says, V'hakoyin ha-makriv es oilas ish, or ha-oilas she-hikriv la-koyin lo yiyeh. The Pasuk indicates that the Kohen who offers, who processes the Korban Ola that a man brings, the skin of the Korban Ola, is given as a gift to the Kohen. It's a Torah-ordained gift to the Kohen. So the Mishnah points out that the Pasuk, Olas Ish, is understood as Ola She'olso Le'ish, an Ola that was offered on behalf of the owner, that would refer to an acceptable sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice, Ola offering, so we say the skins of that accepted Ola sacrifice are given to the Kohanim. Ola She'nishchato She'lo L'shma, an Ola whose sacrifice was done without the proper directed intention. It was done with, let us say, another korban in mind, another sacrifice in mind. Even though the owner does not fulfill his obligation through a korban that's offered, sheloi lishma, oira la koyhanim. Nevertheless, the koyhanim do get the skins of an Ola that was done, sheloi lishma. This point will have to be elaborated upon in the Gemara because it would almost seem to contradict that which we said just a moment before, that only an Ola through which the owner fulfilled his obligation, the skins thereof go to the Kohen. Here we see an example of something that the owner does not fulfill his obligation. Let us say the owner had accepted upon himself through a vow to bring an Ola, but the Ola was done shelo lishma, the owner hasn't fulfilled his vow and will have to bring another one. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that the skins will go to the Kohanim. Echad oilas ho'ish ve'echad oilas ho'isha oroseim l'kohanim. As far as the gender of the owner is concerned, it doesn't make a difference. The skins of their Olas go to the Kohen. Oirois kochim kalim lebailim, the skins of light level sanctity sacrifices go to the owner. Oros koche kochim lekoyanim, the skins of high level sanctity sacrifices, for example, in addition to the oila, you have a chatos and an osham. The skins of a chatos and osham go to the koyhanim, kal vachomer. The conclusion, or that conclusion, can be reached through kal vachomer logic. Uma'im oila shelo zochu b'vesora zochu b'oira, an ola which the Torah provides for the Kohen receiving the skins, and that's a sacrifice where the Kohanim do not get the meat. The meat is burnt on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, the skins are a gift to the Kohen. Kodshei Kodshim Shezochu B'Vesorah. High-level sanctity sacrifices like Achatas and Osham, where the Kohanim do get the meat, Eino Din Shiyisku B'Orah, then all the more so, they should get the skins. Once again, if a sacrifice like an Ola, where they don't get the meat, yet they do get the skins, in a case where the Kohanim get the meat, they certainly should get the skins. Ein Mizbeach Yochiach. And you cannot use the Mizbeach as a counter form of logic. Namely, if one would try to argue, well, you have the Mizbeach, for example, that gets the meat of an Ola, and it does not get the skins. So, too, by the Chatos, where the Kohen gets the meat, that doesn't necessarily mean that he should get the skins. Now, why do we not use that logic? She'ein lo ur b'chol makom. Because in the case of the Mizbeach never gets the skins. But in the case of Kohanim, where we find that they do get the skins of an Ola, there is room to use the Kal v'chomer logic to extend their getting skins in the case of Chatos and Osham as well. As we turn to the Gemara itself, the topic heading that we see in the outside margin, accompanied by a diamond, as you'll see in the Gemara, a series of diamonds appear. These are mikrim, situations, shebohem ein ha-kohanim mekablim es ha-oros, situations where the kohanim do not receive skins. You'll notice that these are numbered as well, with numbers to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, that the numbers appear in little diamonds, so that you see three examples on this omid as you skim down. Turning to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source. You can see it appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Oilas Ish. Prat le'oilas hektish, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Drosha here is telling us that the Ola that a person brings, the skins of that go to the Kohen. With the exception, or let us say, to the exclusion of the case of Olas Hektish. And this will be explained later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Rebita Omer, Prat Le'olas Gerim. That too will have to be explained in the Gemara. For the time being, it simply means that the skins of an Ola that the Pasuk speaks about, Olas Ish, comes to exclude the skins of the Ola belonging to a convert. As we said, the Gemara will explain all of these points. My prat le'oilas hektish. What is meant by this exclusion of the skins of an olas hektish? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, prat le'oilo habo min ha-moisoros. The expression mosoros is a reference to a korban osham that is not acceptable. There are different examples of korban oshams that are rendered unacceptable, and as a result of that, they are sent out to graze until they develop a blemish, at which point the blemished former korban osham is redeemed, and the money is used to buy korban olas that will be used on the that will be offered on the Mizbeach. That's an Ola that comes from the Mosoros. As we mentioned, those are the Korban Oshams that were deemed unacceptable and were sent out to graze till they developed a Mum, eventually then redeemed after developing the Mum, and the money is used to buy Olas. So we're saying right now that the skins of those are called Oilas Hektish, and those skins, even though it's a Korban Ola, they do not go to the Kohanim. Tumor explains that this point works out well only according to one of two opinions. Ha nicha lemandamer moisoros lenivas tzibur asli. The korbonos ola, the ola sacrifices that we buy with these funds, if you hold that they're used to buy public korban olas, those are olas that will be offered as gifts to the Almighty on behalf of the or in on behalf of the public, and they're offered during the downtime of the Mizbeach. There can be situations where there are few people bringing korbanos and the Mizbeach is not occupied with obligatory sacrifices, and we call that the downtime of the Mizbeach. During that time, there are nidvois oila that are offered. Those are called Kates HaMizbeach. So I understand very well that the skins of those public ola gift sacrifices are not going to be given skins won't be given as gifts to the Kohanim. Very simply because they cannot be classified as olas ish. Those olas are olos tzibor. But according to the opinion that holds that the monies fetched from the blemished former Korban Oshams are used by the owner of the Korban Oshams themselves that had been developed their blemish, the owners themselves bring the Ola, as opposed to it being the Ola brought on behalf or in the name of the public, but rather they're brought by the owners of those Oshams. So is it not, can we not classify these in fact as Olas Ish? Therefore, how can we say Prat Lemoisoros, the Pshat of Rabbi Bar Abbar Yosef, in explaining what Prat Olas Hegdish means, his pshat won't work out according to this opinion as to what the destiny of those blemished korban oshams are. So Elo Lamando Omar, reading again in the Gemara, Moisrois Lenivas Yochid Asli Ma'iko Lameimar. What are you to say? Meaning, how can you say that these kind of olos that come from Mosoros would be excluded or not the skins not given to the Kehanim? For are they not, in fact, Olas Ish? The Gemara explains, even according to the Manda Omar, that they go to they're brought as a Nidvas Yochid, as a private gift. Nevertheless, Kid Omar Rava, as Rava explains, Ho Oila. The Pasuk spoke about that's Pasuk Ches that we read before, used the term Or Ho Oila. The Hey tells us Ola Rishona. Hochinami Ho Oila. Oila Rishona, just like elsewhere, the word Ho'ola is a reference to the first Ola, so too over here, in our Pasuk, the word Ho'ola appears. It's a reference to firstness. What do we mean by that? It means that the skins of what kind of Ola go to the Kohen? The skins of an animal that was set aside initially as an Ola. The case of Mosaros, though, is a reference to a Korban which was originally set aside as an Osham. It then was redeemed, and the money value of the Osham was used to buy an Ola. But this Ola, the origin of its sanctity was not as an Ola, it rather was as an Osham. Therefore, it doesn't conform, these Mosoros, even though they may be brought as a Nidvas Yochid, they don't conform to the qualification of the Pasuk as an Ola with an original Ola sanctity. Rabbi Ivoy Omer Rabbi Yanai, he says the expression of Olas Hegdish is Prat Lematpis Oila Lebedek Abayas. That's a case where a person had a Korban Ola set aside and he went up to the Korban Ola and dedicated it to the Temple Repair Fund. A Korban Ola like that, its skins will not be given to the Kehanim. Velo mibayo lemadomer koche bedek abayis tafsi midoraisa. And we don't have to tell you that the skins do not go to the Kehanim, according to the opinion that holds that the bedek abayis sanctity, the temple repair fund sanctity, takes hold of such an Ola, of an Ola that was dedicated to the Temple Repair Fund. Elo afilu lemadomar loy tafsi d'oraisa, But even according to the opinion that holds that the Kedushas Berek HaBayis does not take hold of an Ola that was dedicated to the Berek HaBayis, Hani Mili, this is true that the Kedushas Berek HaBayis does not take hold, Basar, that's with regard to the meat, Aval Or, Tufis. However, the Temple Repair Fund sanctity does take hold of the skins. Therefore, if one happened to have a Korban Ola and then dedicated it, the Ola, to the Temple Repair Fund, that the skins of that Ola would not be given to the Kehanim. Notice we have a semicolon. This helps in the reading. When we continue, we read the word V'chein Omer of Nachman. The V'chein usually means and thusly, referring to that which was said immediately before. And that's not the case over here. The V'chein rather reflects back to Rav Chiya bar Yosef. V'chein Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rav Avuah, like Rav Chiya bar Yosef above, Prat le'ola habo min hamosoros, that the Olas Hekdish, that the source referred to above, is coming to exclude an Ola that came as a result of an Osham that developed a blemish, that was sent out. They would call it the unacceptable Osham that was sent out to develop a blemish. Omar Lei, Rav Hamnuna L'Rav Nachman. Rav Hamnuna raises a question. He says, Keman, Kareb Yehuda, are you explaining the source above that says the Prat Lola's Hekdish is coming to exclude the skins of Mosoros from being given to the Kehanim? But Hohodar Bey, we should take note, by the way, that we have a long question on our hand. It lasts a few lines. You can see we have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The vertical dashed line indicates the number of lines that are dedicated to the question. So Rav Hamnuna is asking, this pshat of Ola Habomin Asoros, the skins of such Olas do not go to the Kehanim, are you trying to base yourself on Rebbe Yehuda? But Hohodar Bey, but we know Rebbe Yehuda to have backed out, to have retracted his opinion. At this point in the Gemara will give us the background to Rebbe, to this reference to Rebbe Yehuda, to his originally stating that the skins of Olos Habo Min HaMasoros would be given to the Kehanim, and then he backs out of that. We've employed a brackets to show that the that which appears in is simply background to the statement that this idea is based on Rebbe Yehuda. It's to give you the sources for that. However, after the brackets, after Rav Hamnuna raises a question to Rav Nachman, claiming that if you're basing yourself on Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda himself backed out. So how can you explain that Oilos Hegdish is Pratla Oilos Habomin Amosoros, that the skin does not go to the Kohen, when in fact he backed out of that and would accept the idea that the skin does go to the Kohanim? So what is the pshat in the Bryce above? Oilos Ish is Pratla Oilos Hegdish, some kind of Ola that the skins don't go to the Kohanim. After the bracketed section, You can see the second expression online, Omar Lei, Rav Nachman says back, Elo Mor B'mayim Bukim Lo. So if you don't like the way I set it up, how do you set it up? How do you explain the idea, the that which it said, Prat Lo'ilas Hegdish? So Omar Lei, you'll notice after where we skip to, there's another diamond. This is Rav Hamnuna would be answering, Mukmino Lei B'makdish Nechosav Rabbi Yeshua. And he'll give an answer, and we'll see that a bit later. In the meantime, we go back to the second wide line, where we heard Rav Nachman's pshat, that Oilas Hektish is Prat Lo'ilo Abomin HaMasoros, that the skins coming from Olas that were purchased with the redemption money of an osham that was sent out to graze? Amar Lei, Rav Hamnuna asks on that pshat and says, Amar Lei, Rav Hamnuna, Rav Nachman, Keman, Rabbi Yehuda, are you basing yourself on Rabbi Yehuda that we'll see a bit later? But ho ho darbe, but he backed out. It's true that Rabbi Yehuda may have once said that the skins of Ola Bomen Asoros, the skins do not go to the Kohen, but he backed out. And now the background for all of that. Disanya, Shisha Linidova. There are six shofros. Shofros are, for our purposes, receptacles used for containing money dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash. So the source tells us that six of them are dedicated for money to be used for a voluntary offerings. Those are voluntary offerings that come from the Oilo Habo Min HaMosoros. Shelo Yu HaKoyhanim Zakoyim Bo'oiro Divrei Yehuda. The Oilo Habo Min HaMosoros, the skins of those would not go to the Koyhanim. Thusly says Rabbi Yehuda. And then we can understand, for the in the meantime, how Rav Nachman could suggest that which Rabbi Yehuda said above, that the Oilas Hekdesh Prat Oila Bon Masoros, is in fact what we just said, that the skins of an Ola Habom and Masoros do not go to the Kehanim. Amar Lo Rabbi Nechemia Avi Amri Lo. Another version is Rabbi Shimon. So either Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Shimon, are addressing Rabbi Yehuda. Im Kain Bitalda Midrash Shel Yehoyada HaKohen. If you say that the Kohanim are not Zoicha in the Oros of the Oila Habom and Amasaros, then you have abandoned the Drusha of Yehoyada HaKohen. Disnan Ze Medrash Dorash Yehoyada HaKohen. The following is the Chidush that Rav Yehuda, that Yehoyada HaKohen promulgated. Asham hu, Asham, Asham, Lashem. That's a pasuk. Kol shebo mishum chatos, mishum Asham, yilokach boi oilos. We're being taught by this pasuk that anything that comes as a chatos or as an Asham and cannot be used as that, a psul had developed, they became invalidated, the chatos or the Asham. Yilokach boi oilois. He should use the monies that he fetches from the redeeming of a chatas and osham that he cannot use. He uses the monies to buy olos. Habosar l'shem, oira l'kehanim. We've dashed underlined this expression, oira l'kehanim, showing us that when you have an ola habom and hamosoros, that's what we just described here of kol shebo mishum chatas mishum osham, the monies are used to purchase an ola, and the skin of those is given to the Kohanim. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda must have backed out of that which he said in the source just before, that the Kohanim would not be Zoich in the Oros. Here we see the Kohanim would be Zoich in the Oros. Omar Lei, so Rav Nachman turns to the Rav Hamnuna and says, Ela mor b'mai mokim lo. How do you explain the source? We saw the source that said Prat le'olas hegdish. How do you explain that? Amalei, Rav Huna says, I have something. Mukmino le b'makdish nechosov uched Rebbe Yeshua. There is a case of the skins of an ola that will not go to the Kehanim. And that's a case involving someone who sanctified all of his property for the temple repair fund. Was Makdish is Nechosim. And as according to Rabbi Yeshua, which we'll see his name a little bit later, we'll see him in the toward the end of the following Tanaic source with a dashed underline. The source begins, Hadisnan, Hamakdish, Nechosov, person sanctified all of his property. He dedicated his property to the Beis HaMikdash. V'hoyu bohen behemos urios legabi mizbeach, zechor menikevus. And amongst his holdings, he had animals that were fit for being offered. They were fit for the mizbeach, for the altar. Male animals and female animals. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Zechorim Yimochu Litzorche Oilois. The male animals are to be sold to people that have accepted on themselves obligations to bring a korban ola. Nekevos Yimochu Litzorche Divrei Shlamim. And the female animals will be sold to people that have a need to bring a korban shlamim. Most likely because they accepted upon themselves through a vow to bring these different korbanos. Udmeyan yiplu imshar nechosim leberek habayis. The monies that he gets from the sales of these animals will be transferred to the temple repair fund. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Zechorim Atzmom Yikrivu Olos. The male animals that are in his holdings are not redeemed, and the money used to buy or used for Berek HaBayis, but rather the Zechorim male animals themselves are offered as Olos. Unekevos Yimochru Letzorchei Shlamim. The female offerings, the female animals that he has in his holdings, those will be sold to other people that happen to need shlomim, need to bring a korban shlomim. V'yovi v'dmeim olos u'shar nechosim yiplu l'berek habayis. After he sells these female animals, he'll then buy with the monies korban olas, and the rest of his properties will be transferred to the temple repair fund. V'afilu Rabbi Yeshua d'yomar Odom Cholek Hegdesho Hani Mili Bosar Avol Or Tofis. This concept of Odom Cholek Hegdesho is a reference to a case of, besides that which he dedicates to the temple repair fund, his mind is also on offering to the altar those pieces of property, animals, for example, that are fit for the altar. So according to, that's called Odom Cholek Hekdesha, that when he's makdish his property, he has a split mindset. That which is fit for the Mizbeach shall go to the Mizbeach. That which is not fit for the Mizbeach goes to the Temple Repair Fund. So that is true with regard to the meat. Namely, that the meat will go to the Mizbeach. Aval or tofis. But as far as the skins of such animals, those are, again, animals that were part of his property holdings that were themselves fit to be offered on the altar. Nevertheless, the skins of those animals, though they will not go to the Kehanim, and that's what we said before, that Prat Lehegdish, the Oilas Hegdish is coming to exclude this case. This is the case of Oilas Hegdish. And this last phrase that we read, Avol Or Tofis, it means that the Berek HaBayis sanctity that he imparted onto his estate takes hold of the skins. In other words, the skins become part of Berek HaBayis. And it's with regard to this that Rabbi Yehuda's original statement in the opening brisa to this Gemara was referring to this case when he said, Prat lo'ida oilas kodesh. We have a Rashi we might want to look at together. He's found on the lower part of the page. In the middle of the explanation, you'll see a star, at which point Rashi says, "Bahach oila the Rabbi Yeshua zechorim hakrevim oilos." It's with regard to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion of what one does with the male animals found in someone's property holdings that he dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash. Those zechorim, those male offerings, are offered as olos. So regarding those, Kamar Biyuda Liel Prat Le'olas Hegdish. With regard to those, we were saying the skins of those don't go to the Kehana, but rather go to the Berek HaBayis, the Temple Repair Fund. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Prat Le'olas Geirim. This was a quote that we saw above, that the pasuk that makes reference to Oilas Ish is to the exclusion of Ola brought by a ger. Omar Le Rav Simoi Bar Chukoi the Ravina. Rav Simoi asks, Otu ger lav ishu, is a convert not considered an ish? After all, the Pasuk said that the skins of Oilas Ish go to the Kohanim. Why is a ger any different, thought of as any different? Why should the skins of the Ola that a ger brings not go to the Kohanim? Amale, prat leger shemeis ve'en lo yorshim. We're talking about a case where a ger had dedicated a korban Ola, and this ger converted a little older at a point where he just doesn't leave any Jewish children in the world. He didn't, let's say, have children after his gerus. So that's a case of a ger that dies, ve'ein lo yorshim, and he has no heirs. So this is in effect a korban that's brought without a real owner standing behind it. So in such a case, this is not called oilas ish. It's the ola of a non-owned, we'll call it ola that's brought by in a fashion that the owner doesn't exist. So the skins of such an ola will not go to the kohanim. Before we go into the Gemara, which features a Tanaic source that spills over to Amud Beis, covering quite a bit of Amud Beis with a long Tanaic source, the topic heading that we have assigned to this Gemara, the Nosei, Ezo Mikrim Shel Or Oila Marbim Shu Lekehanim V'Ezo Mematim. Which cases of the skin of Ola are we going to include as going to the Kehanim, and which cases of Ola will we say their skins do not go to the Kehanim? Tanu Rabbanan, Oilas Ish, Ein Li Ela Oilas Ish. From the statement of the Pasuk, the Ola of a man, the skins of that go to the Kohanim, I wouldn't know anything else. Olas Noshim Vavodim Inayim, from where do I know that the skins of an Ola brought by a woman or by a slave, that they also, the skins also go to the Kohanim? Tamalomar Or Ho'oila Riba. In the Pasuk that we saw before, you saw the expression Or Ho'oila, Vayikra Perek Zayin Pasuk Ches. Im kein ma tamad loimar oilas ish, if we're in an inclusion mode, then what do I gain by having the expression oilas ish when I'm willing to include beyond that? Answer, ola she'olso le'ish. The Pasuk is telling us an ola that was brought in fulfillment of a person's obligation. The skins of that go to the kohanim. Prat lishenishkata chutz lizmano v'chutz lemkoma shelo yu kohanim hakoyim zakoyim ba'oira. This comes to exclude an ola which was sacrificed with an improper mindset, with the thought of processing it after its time lapses or outside of its precinct. Korbanos that were processed with a mindset of chutz lizman or chutz lemkoma, those skins do not go to the kohanim. Yochol sheni memayit shenishchato shelo lishmo, hoil v'lo yolso lebailim, lo yu kohanim zakoyim ba'ora. Should I say that an ola which was offered without the specified intent, the specified intent of it being brought as an ola, whereby an ola was brought, let us say, with the intent that it's going to serve as a shlomim, or as any other korban. We know that the owner does not fulfill his obligation through that. So maybe, in line with what we said just a bit before, olas ish only where the ola fulfills, the bringing of the ola fulfills the owner's obligation, do the skins go to the kohanim. In this case, an ola that's done shelo lishma, the owner does not fulfill his obligation through such and sacrifice. So maybe the skins of an ola shelo lishma should not go to the kohanim. Talmud loymar or ha'oila mikomakom. the pasuk, when it says or ha'olah, it's telling me the skins under all circumstances, coming to include even the shalom lishmo circumstance, the skins will go to the kohanim. Or ha'olah, ein li ela or ha'olah. From the pasuk itself, I understand the skins of an ola go to the kohanim. Oros kodshe kodshiminayin. From where do I know that the skins of other high-level sanctity sacrifices go to the kohanim? Talmud Lomar, asher hikriv. The expression asher hikriv sounds like we're coming to include the skins of all sacrifices. Before we go further, let's just take note of the markings that we see. We have a double underline, and a little bit later, some houses. On the outside margin, you see the mivneh. Those are oros kodshe kodshim minayin. This will be featuring sources for the skins of high-level sanctity sacrifices, such as a chatos and an osham. From where do we know that those skins go to the kohanim? So that's what the double underline emphasizes, and the house are Droshos Tanoim Lumoid Eze Oirois Magiim Lekohanim. Different Tanaic opinions appear with their Droshos in telling us how we know that different skins go to the Kohanim. So in the meantime, the question that we're dealing with is, we have this Pasuk of Asher Hikriv, which included the skins of all other high-level sanctity korbanos. The pasuk itself, though we added, is mashma all sacrifices. So in that spirit, the Brisa asks, Yochel shenimar ba'av kodshim kalim, should I include the skins of lower-level sanctity sacrifices, such as a korban shlomim? Do the skins of that also go to the kohanim? Talmud lomar oilo. The pasuk makes reference specifically to the ola, ma'ola kodshe kodshim, af kol kodshe kodshim. I use ola as a precedent to tell me only the skins of high-level sanctity sacrifices go to the kohanim, and not the skins of kodshim kalim. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, or ho'oila, ein li ela ho'oila, oros kodshe kodshim minayin. Rabbi Shmuel addresses the same issue we discussed above. From Or Ha'ola, I learn only the skins of an Ola. How do I know, according to Rabbi Shmuel, how do I know skins of other high-level sanctity sacrifices? And here we have to note that Rabbi Shmuel's approach is different than the approach we saw above. The approach we saw above, you can see where the double underline appeared just underneath it. The first opinion cited a pasuk, used the drosha from a pasuk asher hikriv to include oros kodshe kodshim. Rabbi Shmuel does not use a pasuk; he uses logic. V'din hu, he uses the following logic: uma oila shelo zochu b'visora, zochu ba'ora, a korban ola where the kohanim do not get the meat, but they do get the skins, as is dictated by the pasuk. Kodshe kodshim shezochu b'visoron, the high-level sanctity korbanos other than an ola, the chatos and osham, where they do get the meat, enyodun sheyizku ba'oron, then all the more so they should get the skins. Let's go over that point again, that in a case, for example, the ola, where they don't get the meat, yet they do get the skins, by kodshe kodshim, where they do receive the meat, they certainly should receive the skins. To counter this point, the Brisa says, well, mizbeach yochiach, the mizbeach can prove otherwise. Shezocha b'basar, the mizbeach gets the meat. It gets the meat of the ola, because the ola is burnt on the mizbeach. Velo zocha b'or, and yet the mizbeach does not get the skin. So, using the mizbeach as a focal point, I could then argue against what was said before, namely, the oros of kodshe kodshim, true, the kohanim get the meat, but there's no guarantee that they should get the skin. On the other hand, though, the Gemara retorts, the Brisa responds, Ma le mizbeach, you can't ask on our previous conclusion from the case of the mizbeach, shekein lo zocha b'miktas. The mizbeach, there's no example of the mizbeach ever getting skins. Tomar b'Kehanim shezochu b'miksas. Whereas the Kehanim, there is a precedent for them at times receiving the skins. For example, the case of the Or HaOla. Hoyel v'zochu b'miksas yizku b'kulon. And since there's some precedent for the Kehanim receiving skins, then in all other cases, the Kehanim will be eligible to receive the skins. Rebbe Oimer, Kol atzmoi lo hutzrachnu elo l'or ha'olo bilvad. The posuk is not here to teach me about the skins of other sacrifices. The purpose of the posuk is to teach me about the ola itself. Shebechol mokoim ha'or mahalech achar habosar. Because in general, we find that the skins follow the meat. Whatever the destiny of the meat of any particular korban, we find that that's the way the skins go as well. This is not the case by Ola. And because Ola is a departure from the precedent formed by all other sacrifices, I need a pasuk to tell me what to do with the skins of an Ola. In other words, I would not be able to figure out on my own what happens to the skins of the Ola. At this point, the Brisa enumerates all those other cases that we just cited where the skins follow the meat. Number one, Porim HaNisraf, Usin HaSrafim. These are sacrifices whose entire body, the carcasses, are completely burnt. And in the case of the Purim and Nisrafim, Sirim and Nisrafim, Hein v'uru sehem Nisrafim mayim. The meat and the skins are burnt together. Chatos v'osham, v'zivchei sham etzibur. These kind of korbanos, a sin offering, an osham offering, and a public shlomim offering, matana l'kayin. These are given completely to the kayin. Rotsu mafshiten osan, lo rotsu ochlin osan al gabi yoron. The Kehanim who receive these sacrifices, if they should desire, the Kehan can skin them and keep the skin, or actually eat the meat before skinning them. But the main point is that in these korbanos, the Chatos Oshem, Zivchei Sham Etzibur, where the meat go to the Kehanim, so the skins go to the Kehanim. Kochim Kalim, Lebailim. The light level sacrifices, like a korban shlomim, rotsu mafshita nosan, rotsu ochla nosan, agabi oron. The skins go along with the meat to the owner. If the owner wants to skin it first and then eat the meat, he can do that. Or if he wants to eat the meat before skinning it, he can do that. Avol oilo, nemar bo, vihifshit es oilo, venitach oisol in esocheho. Regarding the ola, the Torah says, you shall skin it and then dismember it into its various limbs, which are eventually, after the skinning, the limbs are brought onto the altar for complete burning. Yochol lo yehu hakoinem zakoim b'ora. Since this posuk in Vayikra Aleph doesn't tell me what to do with the skins of the ola, I might think that the kohanim don't merit receiving them. Talmud lomar ur ha'olah asher hikriv. Therefore, I need the pasuk that to say the or of the ola asher hikriv. The truth is that there's one more word that would make this even more clear, and it's the next word in the pasuk after the word asher hikriv. It says la kohen. So it's our suggestion that maybe the word la kohen should be included in this particular drasha. And it would then read as follows: Or ha'ola asher hikriv la kohen, the skin of the ola that is offered goes to the kohen. The pasuk goes on to say, Loi yihyeh prat l'tvul yom v'oinein. This is to the exclusion of a tvul yom and an onein sheyochol. Lo yizku babosor shulachilo, avol yizku b'or she'eno lachilo. we know that a Tevul Yom and an Onain, Tevul Yom is a person who had been Tomei, and at the end of the Tumah period he goes to the mikveh and awaits sunset in order to achieve Tara. So prior to sunset, he's categorized as a Tevul Yom. So as such, he's not allowed to eat from sacrificial meat as of yet. An Onain is a person whose close relative died and has not yet been buried. So I might have thought, without the Pasuk, that maybe Kohanim that are Tvuyom or Onain don't get the meat, because the meat is for Achila, and they're incapable, or they're ineligible for eating the meat. But maybe they can receive the skins. After all, skins are made into leather. They're not for leather or parchment. They're not for eating. Maybe they can receive the skins. Talmud lomar lo yeh. Prat lemechusu kipurim utvuyoim v'oinein. The lo yeh is an exclusionary expression unto him, which is mashma him and not someone else. And we are thereby excluding these categories of kohanim, a kohen that's a tvul yom, who's an onain, or a mechusar kippurim. This is a kohen who needs, at the end of his tumah period, to, after he immersed himself in a mikveh and there was sundown, on the next day he brings special korbanos to conclude his tumah period. So until he's brought those korbanos, he's called mechusar kippurim. And as such, not only does he not eat from the meat of sacrifices, but he also does not receive the skins. With that, you see, the source, the long Tanaic source ends. Now the Gemara inquires, V'tana kamo, nami tepuk li midino. Let's use our arrows. We have an arrow here to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up, you'll notice an arrow pointing to the line that said V'dinhu, where Rabbi Shmuel used logic to establish that the skins of Kodshei Kodshim go to the Kohanim. The Tanakama, though, addressing the same issue, used a posuk of Asher Hikriv. So the Gemara is asking, why does the Tanakama, the first opinion in this source, use a posuk when he could have used the logic? So let's read the question again. The Tanakama nami tepuk li midino. The Tanakama could have, like Rabbi Shmuel, derived that the Oros Kodshei Kodshim go to the Kohanim, midino means through logic. The Gemara answers, you're correct. However, milsa de'asi v'kal v'chomer torach v'kosav lo kro. There are occasions where pieces of information that could be derived through logic, nevertheless the Torah troubles itself to write out in posuk form. Rabbi Shmuel, Hi Asher Hikriv my Ovid Lay. Now turning our attention to Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara asks, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with the Asher Hikriv Posuk that the Tanakama had used for Uroi's Kodshei Kodshim going to the Kohanim? What does Rabbi Shmuel, who derived that same information through logic, what does he do with the Posuk? Answer, Prat L'tvu Yoim U'mechusu Kippurim V'oinein. He uses the Asher Hikriv Posuk to exclude these types of Kohanim, or status of Kohanim, where he's a Tevul Yom, Muslim, or an Onain, to exclude them from receiving skins. Question. The Tepuk Le Mi Lo Yeh, why not exclude the Mechusar Kippurim, Tevul Yom, and Onain categories through the Pasuk of Lo Yeh, as we saw Rebbe did in the source? Why does Rabbi Shmuel not use Lo Yeh, and rather he uses Asher Hikriv? Answer, Rabbi Shmuel L'taimei. Rabbi Shmuel, in using Asher Hikriv and not Lo Yeh, is consistent with what he said, what he has done elsewhere, namely he's used Lo Yeh for a separate type of drosha. The Omer of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Ne'amar Bo'ilo Lo Yeh. It says by the Korban Ola, the expression Lo Yeh. Ve'ne'amar Bo'asham Lo Yeh. And by the Osham as well, you see the term Lo Yeh. Ma lahalon atzmoisav mutorin. Just like by the Osham, the bones are mutar to receive personal benefit from them. Afkan, so too by the Korban Ola, the bones of a Korban Ola, atzmoisav mutorin. The bones are mutar for you to derive personal benefit from. It's pointed out that the expression lo yeh is mufni, is available, it's extra. In other words, we are able to make this gezeira shava without challenging it with a question. Namely, even though there's room to ask on this comparison, nevertheless, because it's an extra, it's a mufni, an extra expression, I am entitled to make this gezeira shava regardless of the possible question one may have asked. The ilo mufni, if the lo yeh expression was not an extra expression, ikol mifrach, there would have been room to challenge the comparison as follows. Ma'alo osham shekein besara mutar. That once you do that, which you tell me that the bones of the osham are mutar, comes as no surprise, because the meat of the osham is mutar. That's not the case by an ola. The meat of the ola is sanctified to be offered on the mizbeach. So I would not have necessarily followed that the bones of an ola should be allowed. Therefore, lo yeh kro yiserahu. The Gemara points out that in fact lo yeh is an extra expression. Therefore, we are able to conclude that the skins, that the bones of the ola are mutter to benefit from, are allowed to derive personal benefit from. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let's glance at our topic heading on the side under the Nosei heading. Hashpa'oso shopsul she'ira b'korban al heter ha'or l'kohanim. We want to judge the effects of an invalidating occurrence, a psul that happens to a korban, and how does the invalidating of the korban affect the distribution of the skins to kohanim. The Mishnah, Kol HaKodshim She'ira Bohen Psul, sacrifices that an invalidating factor arose, Koidim Lehev Sheiton, Ein Oroseen LeKoyhanim. If the Psul developed before the animal, before the sacrifice was skinned, so the skins do not go to the Kohanim, rather they are burnt along, the invalidated Korban is burnt along with the skins. La'achar hef sheiton, if the invalidating factor arose after the sacrifice was skinned, so that at the point of the skinning, the korban was not yet possible, oroseyan l'koyhanim, the skins will go to the koyhanim. Omer b'chaninas gana koyhanim, miyomai lo ro'isi or shigotze l'beis hasreifa. He says, I never saw skins going to be burnt. Omer Rabbi Akiva, midvarav lomadnu, from that which Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohen tells us, that he never saw skins being taken out to be burnt, we learn, shehamafshit es habachor, venimtsa trefa, if a bachor was skinned, and then discovered that there was a problem with internal organs, rendering it a trefa, Shiyausu hakoinim ba'oroi. That the koinim, yausu means to benefit. That the koinim are entitled to benefit from the skins. That even though trefus is a psul that existed before it was skinned, nevertheless, since Rabbi Chanina ben Hakoinim says he never saw skins being taken out to be burnt, it must be that the trefus, or the psul, a psul that develops even before it's skinned, does not ruin the skins, doesn't render the skin unfit for the kohanim. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim respond to this method of drawing conclusions and say, ein lo ro'inu raya. The fact that you never saw is no proof. Elo yetze lebeis hasrifa. Rather, in the event that a bechor is skinned and it's found to be a trefa, so we know that the skins were part of an animal, that's a korban that was already pusul beforehand, they are to be burnt. The skins are to be burnt. Before we go into the Gemara itself, let us glance at our topic heading. The Nosei, Diyukim, inferences, Meha Mishnah, Hakodemus, or Mishnah Seinu, the inferences that we'll draw from the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah on Omed Aleph, and our Mishnah, Kedei Levarer, in order to clarify Moni Masnisin. We're trying to find out who the author of the Mishnah is. Oh, it's either Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, or Rebbe. It's either one of these two Tanoim. Be'inyin Zrikas Dam, or let's go over this point, it's either Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, or Rebbe, Be'inyin Zrikas Dam, Im Yochol La'atir Ha'or B'fnei Atzmo. We will raise the topic of whether the sprinkling of the sacrificial blood can allow, can matir, can create permissibility concerning skins alone. In other words, can you have a situation where the Zrikas Adam is not going to be effective for allowing the meat because some type of psul developed? However, the Zrikas Adam could be effective, and this we're going to raise as a question, can the Zrikas Adam be effective to allow the skins to be given to the Kehanim? In other words, before Zrika, the skins are usur, be'isur mi'ilah, there would be a prohibition of deriving personal benefit from them, and with upon the Zrika, that would then create permissibility, remove the isur mi'ilah, the isur of benefiting, the prohibition of benefiting, and thereby granting their use on the part of the Kehanim. We turn to the Gemara, and it opens with a citation of the Mishnah from Omen Aleph. Kol shaloi zocho hamizbeach bevisora, lo zochu hakoyhanim bo'iro. Afalgav, the afshite lo'or koydem zrika. We're quoting from the Mishnah and also drawing a conclusion from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that any situation where the mizbeach doesn't benefit, doesn't receive the meat, in other words, some type of psul happened to the meat, the kohanim will not will not be eligible to receive the skins. And this rule seems to include even a case that the skinning took place, the removal of the skin took place before the sprinkling of the blood. Moni, who would be the author of such an idea? The idea being that the sprinkling of the blood cannot function to matir, to allow the skins by themselves. Who holds like that? Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. He. It conforms to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who will be cited later on in the sugya. We will find the Gemara asking on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph on the second line, who is this Rebbe and who is the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon that we're going to be citing now. So we'll see their names appear in a source, but not immediately. So the Gemara is telling us that this idea that the sprinkling of the korban blood cannot function to allow skins in isolation. That's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, the Omar, Ein Hadam Meratze Ala Or B'fnei Atzmo, that the sacrificial blood cannot Meratze, literally atone for, or we'll say allow, create allowance, remove the Isser Me'ila from skin in isolation. That's what we want to conclude from the Mishnah on Omer Aleph, that it's authored by Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Amos Seifa. Let us now state the most recent Mishnah, our Mishnah here. Kol HaKodshim She'ira Bahen Psul. All sacrifices that a psul, an invalidating factor, arose. Kodem Hefshetan Ein Oroseim LaKohanim. If the invalidating factor arose before they were skinned, so the skins do not go to the Kohanim. Li'achar Hefshetan Oroseim LaKohanim. If the psul developed after the skinning, so you have a situation that the skins are separate, they're not part of the animal anymore. A psul then arose in the animal. The skins, Oroseim LaKohanim, the skins will go to the Kohanim. Apparently then, you have a sprinkling of blood, because without that, there, you can't talk about any permissibility. So you have the sprinkling of bud being effective on skins in isolation. Ason the Rebbe. This would work out according to Rebbe. Yomar Hadam Meratza Ala Or B'fnei Atzmoi. So now we have an uncomfortable situation. Reisha Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, Seifa Rebbe. Should we conclude that the Reisha, namely the Mishnah from Omer Aleph, conforms or is authored by Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon, and the Seifa is authored by Rebbe? Omar Abaye. Mi de Seifa Rebbe hi, Reisha nami Rebbe hi. Both the Reisha and Seifa are in accordance with Rebbe. Umode Rebbe Shein Hefshit Koidem Zrika. Rebbe will concede that in general, under normal circumstances, after a korban is sacrificed, they immediately rush to do the sprinkling. Generally, we won't allow, or there isn't time to do skinning before the Zrika. If it happens, though, that the skinning did take place before the Zrika, and the Zrika is therefore done on what would appear to be skin in isolation, such a sprinkling would be effective. However, the ratio that said that any situation where the Mizbeach doesn't get the meat, the Kohanim will not get the skins, that's talking about a case of a psul that arose before the Zrika, and hence it's understood under normal circumstances that that also happens to be before the Hefshit. So, to summarize this, let's just glance at the little scheme or chart that we feature at the bottom. Inside margin, you notice we've written in Rebbe, and the Reisha, which we concluded, or according to Abaye, the Reisha and Seifa are in conformity to Rebbe. The Reisha, which indicated that the skins do not go to the Kohanim, is simply talking about a case where the Psul happened before the Hefshit. So you see, Psul is listed, and only after that is there Hefshit, is there skinning, and then there's Zrika. In such a case, since the Psul, the invalidating factor, took hold on the entire animal, namely meat and skin, because it was still all as one, it was all together at that point, so the Psul takes hold, and thereby prevents the skins from ever getting to the Kohanim. Namely, the Zrika, in such a case, won't be effective to matir the skins. However, the Seifa, in which we see the skins do go to the Kohanim, even though there's a psul in the Basar, that's because something unusual took place. The Seifa features a case where first it was skinned, then the psul developed, and then Zrika was done. A Zrika like that, a zrika, a sprinkling of the blood concerning a korban whose psul developed after the skin was already removed, so such a sprinkling could matir the skin. That's Shitas Rebbe, that a sprinkling is matir skins in isolation. But that, of course, is assuming that the psul developed after the skin was already removed from the meat. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Omar mida Reisha Rav Lozer Rav Shimon Seifanami Rav Shimon. Rava, like Abaye, feels that there must be one author. However, he feels, Rava says, that the singular authorship is that of Rav Lozer Rav Shimon. Namely, just like the Reisha is clearly Rav Lozer Rav Shimon, in the Reisha we said that sprinkling will not matir skin in isolation, the Seifa also conforms to Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. However, we saw in the Seifa an expression that said that La'achar Hefshetan, the if a psul developed after the hefshit, the skins do go to the kohanim, how does that fit in with the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's teaching? So the Gemara explains, my koidim hefshit, umay achar hefshit. What is meant by the expression of koidim hefshit, in which we said the or does not go to the kohanim, and the case of achar hefshit, where the skins do go to the kohanim? These expressions really mean as follows: koidem shenir'u lehefshit, achar shenir'u lehefshit. In order to explain this, let's glance at the little scheme that we've drawn in on the inside margin. You see, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and now a little bit of elaboration on those two expressions. Kodem Shaniru Lehefshit, we say Ein Orosan Lekehanim. What's the case? The case is where the animal was skinned first, then a psul developed. We say under such circumstances the Zrika will not be effective in being matir the skins, because Zrika does not work according, and this is the classic sheet of Rabbi Shimon, the sprinkling does not work to allow skins in isolation. And all the more so will be the case if there was first psul and then hefshit, that the Zrika will not be effective. The expression, though, of achar shenir'eh lezrika, where psul developed achar she, let's say that again, achar shenir'u lehefshit, that is illustrated by the following scheme. First, zrika was done, then a psul descended upon the korban. In such a case, where the zrika was done before the psul descended on the korban, the or will be mutter, even if the or was not removed from the animal before the psul. The main point being that since when the zrika was done, there was no psul, the zrika is matir, whatever stands to be made permissible. If after the zrika a psul developed, so the psul will render the meat unfit for either eating or for the mizbeach, but the skins remain mutter. At this point in the Gemara will be asking, what is the where do we see the sources for Rebbe? Or where do we see Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon in a source? And that which follows will be the source providing that information. But as far as our shiur is concerned, with this we conclude our shiur for today.